Welcome to Working in Teams, Unit 7B, Leadership, All Members as Leaders, Leaderful Teams. Leaderful leadership is not only concurrent, but it is also collective. Since the assumption that there be only one leader in a group can be dispelled, we can entertain the view that many people within the group might be operating as leaders. The group is not solely dependent on one individual to mobilize action or make decisions on behalf of others. Decisions are made by whoever has relevant responsibility. Leadership may thus emerge from multiple members of a team, especially when important needs arise. They may be preparing for a strategic mission, creating meaning for the group, or proposing a change in direction. Although someone may initiate an activity, others may become involved and share leadership with the initiator. Leaderful leadership is also collaborative. All members of the team, not just the designated leader, are in control of and may speak for the entire organization. They may advocate a point of view that they believe can contribute to the common good of the community. Although they might be assertive at times, they are equally sensitive to the views and feelings of others and consider their viewpoints to be equally valid. They thus seek to engage in a public discussion in which they willingly open their beliefs and values to the scrutiny of others. Finally, leaderful managers are compassionate. By demonstrating compassion, one extends uncompromising commitment to preserving the dignity of others. Team members' views are considered before making a decision for the entire group. Each member of the organization is to be valued regardless of his or her background or social standing, and all viewpoints are to be considered regardless of whether or not they conform to current processes. In practicing compassion, leaders take a stance of the learner who sees the adaptability of the organization as dependent upon the contribution of others. Compassionate leaders also recognize that values are interconnected with leadership and that there is no higher value than democratic participation. When people who have a stake in a venture are given every chance to participate in that venture, including its implementation, their commitment to the venture will be assured. To summarize, let's take a look at each of the leaderful leadership roles we've just discussed, and how each one compares with more traditional leadership roles: serial versus concurrent, individual versus collective, controlling versus collaborative, and dispassionate versus compassionate. A change is occurring in how people think about who in the organization has credible and valuable knowledge that the organization can use to solve its difficult problems. This shift is a movement away from the idea that knowledge is found only in a select group of experts or quote-unquote best practitioners, and toward the idea that useful knowledge is distributed throughout the whole organization. Knowledge-sharing systems at companies such as Ford, BP, and Lockheed Martin reflect this change. We call this a, quote, shift, but shift may not be an accurate term because shift implies leaving something behind and taking up something else. It may be more accurate to say that our understanding of who in the organization has credible knowledge is becoming broader and more comprehensive. However, we want to stay with the idea of a shift because it will allow us to contrast the two views in a way that may be helpful to making this broader view more understandable. In the past, if we were to ask top management in an organization where the organization's critical knowledge was, they would probably tick off a list of employees who they considered experts in those areas of competitive importance to the organization. In an oil company, that might be the people who knew the most about a topic like horizontal drilling or refinery maintenance. In manufacturing, it might be a person who knew the most about product and process flow. If the organization was facing a really tough problem in one of those areas, management might put together a task force of the experts from around the company to come up with a solution. Once the task force had completed its work, management would send the identified solution out to be implemented by those who were less, quote, in the know. One of the examples of this distributed model is the best practice replication system that facilitates the transfer of knowledge among Ford's 37 vehicle assembly plants around the world. Each of these plants contributes practices. For instance, a quicker way to install the front bumper on a car, or the use of drive pins instead of screws on the fuel bundle, that have reduced their own costs or increased their productivity. Through an internal intranet, a few practices a week are sent to all the plants. None of the plants are required to use this practice they receive because Ford does not think of the practices as right or the best way to do a given task. In fact, it is understood that a plant in Dearborn, for example, that receives Atlanta's practice about installing the front bumper may already have a quicker way of doing that task than the practice the Atlanta plant provided. Atlanta's practice may, however, be of use to the Nashville plant or to the plant in Saarlouis, Germany. Although all plants are required to participate in the system, the choice of which and how many practices to adopt is left to the plant level. Ford calls this system best practice replication, but the system is not about a plant being best. Rather, the way it is designed is an acknowledgement that each of the vehicle operations plants has something to offer the other plants. In fact, a key element of the system is a summary report of all 37 plants, which shows how many practices each plant has contributed and how many each has adopted. If a regional manager notices that a particular plant in his or her region has contributed few new practices, there is pressure on that plant to increase its submissions because it is assured that there are practices that are occurring in that plant that would be of use to others. A summary of the points describing the changing face of a team is as follows. 1. Each team is both a giver and a receiver. 2. Existing knowledge is transferred. And 3. New knowledge is developed through the transfer process. Scenario number 1, telehealth. A remote physician's office is in need to monitor 20 diabetic patients in various parts of the country. The physician is certain that if he could identify declining health trends in the patients and have a nurse visit the patient, it will prevent the patient from having to enter the hospital or, at the very least, have the patient seen by a physician. The physician has assembled a team consisting of the following members: one physician, one nurse, one office manager, one receptionist. The physician is requiring that the team research and present a system that will enable the patients to enter their vital signs into a telephone after dialing a toll-free number. The system will then send the information to a database and will sort the data and notify the physician if any patient is beginning to have declining health. During several meetings, the physician monopolized the conversation and voiced his opinions frequently. The other team members were not able to state their opinions about any system that was demonstrated. Scenario 2. Freestanding Surgery Center. A freestanding surgery center has been tasked with investigating several vendor options for new digital radiology equipment that will be used across multiple offices. The regional director has assembled a team of the following employees: 2 radiologists, 2 radiology techs, 2 office managers, 2 receptionists. The team has had the initial meeting to lay the ground rules and action plan for the work ahead. One of the radiologists has stated that she will not be able to attend the meetings on a regular basis, but her associate will cover for her when she is not available. One of the office managers has offered to research, from a business standpoint, which system will best suit the needs of the business. One of the receptionists has offered to be part of that search. After discussion, it was determined to have one of the radiology techs be part of the team as well. This information will be brought back to the entire team for discussion and decision-making to take place. The definition of a team is a small group with complementary skills committed to a common purpose, performance goals, and working approach for which they hold themselves mutually accountable. Real teams are simple enough to define and describe, but they demand consistent, hard work and relentless attention to the basics.
Many leaders today understand the basics and the particular importance of a commitment to a compelling performance challenge. Relatively few, however, realize the importance of continuing to ensure that all members of the team apply the essential discipline. Instead, they rely on the instincts and goodwill of members. When the performance challenge remains clear and compelling, such instincts can be enough. When performance challenges are changing rapidly, however, vigorous assessment and sustained discipline become essential. Groups become teams through disciplined action, and they sustain team performance only as long as the discipline prevails. Team performance is characterized at least as much by discipline and hard work as it is by empowerment, togetherness, and a positive group dynamic. The problem that executives who support teams face stems directly from the increasing demand for speed, responsiveness, and versatility in a rapidly changing marketplace. Thus, it becomes more difficult for senior leaders to allocate the extra time and effort as well as take the appropriate risks necessary for team performance. It is simply much quicker and safer to rely on individual accountability and consequence management. In other words, quote, hold someone else's feet to the fire, put the monkey on someone else's back. On the other hand, teams are becoming more central to high-performing organizations. Frontline workforce teams are commonplace in most basic industries. Such functional teams are invariably the best way to manage across complex situations, and approaches aimed at balancing team leadership are producing added leadership capacity, resulting in increased team performance. All of which says that future team leaders will need to evaluate the level of their game in four ways. 1, rigorously assessing and responding rapidly to, quote, situational team opportunities. 2, instilling self-discipline among team members. 3, shifting leadership roles easily and broadly. And 4, learning to apply the basics in a wide variety of, quote, virtual team situations. Consider the following scenario. In a visiting nurse company, it has been determined to incorporate remote devices placed in patients' homes to capture various health information in between visits by the nurses. For example, a patient has been diagnosed with congestive heart failure while hospitalized, and it is critical that the patient follow strict water and diet restrictions in order to not be hospitalized again. Each visiting nurse office has a group of nurses that are working on the project. The director of the company has decided to have a nurse from each site join a team that will work together to make sure that the best possible equipment/system is chosen and the same policies and procedures are created and followed in each office. Team leadership has been described in various ways. Here are a few examples of emerging challenges of team leadership. As a leader, you would need to be aware of these challenges and how to facilitate them to ensure you have an effective team built. It is no longer good enough to rely on observations and instincts to identify team opportunities and motivate team behavior. Some very capable leaders instinctively pursue team behavior in all situations, whereas others avoid it like the plague. Neither instinct results in real teams in the right places at the right times, which is what balanced leadership in high-performing organizations requires. Moreover, getting it wrong is costly. A team effort in a performance situation that requires reliance on a single leader wastes time, frustrates members, and discourages people who have interest in the project. A single leader effort in a situation that warrants a real team capability limits leadership capacity, which in turn limits the team's performance potential. And a, quote, compromise unit, where the leader backs off but elements of the team discipline are not applied, combines the worst of both worlds. Time is clearly the enemy of first-time team efforts. It is one of the reasons why it is difficult to find real teams in time-urgent situations like new ventures. Groups that have never functioned together as a team need time to establish common levels of commitments as well as to learn how to shift roles and blend skills. A single leader unit is typically much faster than a potential team in becoming functional as a group because the right leader can set clear goals, determine individual assignments, and hold those people accountable. Once a group has mastered team basics, however, the single leader approach no longer has a clear time advantage. Most group efforts in the future, however, will not have the luxury of making a one-time choice between real team and single leader unit approaches. Success in a rapidly changing marketplace will require the ability to switch behavior patterns back and forth to fit the task at hand. Thus, it will be critical to be able to identify the conditions that warrant single leader unit behavior, as well as those that warrant team behavior, and to modify the group's working approach accordingly. The collective performance results of any small working group are more about discipline than togetherness, empowerment, or individual accountability. But real teams require a very different kind of discipline than single leader units. In either case, the leader may initiate the necessary discipline, but as group capabilities emerge, peer and self-discipline come into play. Interestingly, the U.S. Marine Corps produces some of the best examples of team performance that we have observed. One of the reasons is the Corps' ability to sustain a dual culture of command and control, along with the kind of self-control and peer approval that bolsters performance, raises pride, and ensures real team performance where it counts. Marines use discipline to integrate and blend real team and single leader efforts to the ultimate benefit of accomplishing their missions better than most other major military forces. Many team leaders find themselves victimized by applying the wrong discipline or by simply easing off with respect to team basics too soon. Hence, the group becomes less rigorous over time and loses much of its early acquired performance capabilities. The problem can be compounded by increasing and confusing demands on the group, taking team behavior for granted by assuming performance pressures plus member goodwill will yield team performance is dangerous. It works only as long as the team performance challenge is clear and compelling, and the members remain vigilant in applying the basics. Perpetual self-discipline and a sense of mutual accountability that persists over time will be increasingly essential as team challenges become more varied. A real team is never leaderless. It is able to draw on the leadership ability of each of its members at different times and in different ways. Real teams boost their leadership capability by shifting the leader's role back and forth among members depending on the task. The leader's responsibility falls naturally on the shoulders of whichever member has the knowledge or experience most relevant to the particular issue at hand. The higher up in the organization a particular team effort occurs, the more challenging it becomes to shift the role of leader because of ingrained habits and overwhelming time pressures. Nonetheless, the most effective team efforts at any level in the organization demonstrate ability for any and all members to lead the group at different times. This capability does not come easily to every team member and often requires unique insight and support from the formal team leader and other members. The more varied and complex team purposes and goals become, the more important it will be for every member to step up to the leadership challenges that fit his or her skills and experience. Capitalizing on the differing leadership attributes of each team member in pursuing different collective work products will become a key characteristic of the best team leaders in the future. Few people question the importance of virtual teaming, that is, functioning as a team when the members cannot work in the same locale. Virtual teams emerged long before the web, but not with nearly the frequency and abundance we see today. This trend is being fueled by fundamental forces of globalization, merger, scaling, and speed, as well as advances in technology that allow real work to take place over the internet. Nonetheless, team performance still requires discipline, application of the basics. As simple as that may appear, there are some fairly profound differences between working virtually versus working in co-located, physical, and more traditional ways. We see these differences most notably in interaction patterns, memory capacity, communication modes, and consciousness or awareness of key choices. In a traditional team effort, the interaction will be a blend of one-on-one and group, whereas the virtual situation favors one-on-ones. In addition, memory is highly subjective since groups cover a lot of topics that are not recorded. In virtual situations, almost everything is saved in one form or another. In traditional teams, communication is much more oral than written, whereas the virtual team situation is the reverse. Finally, in the physical proximity groups, critical choices are easily overlooked. For instance, real team versus single leader behaviors, or collective versus individual work products. In the virtual space, such choices can be presented more clearly and forcefully. These differences are affecting the challenge of team performance both positively and negatively. In other words, some elements of the basics will appear easier to apply, while others will become more difficult. As a result, a variety of different tools and approaches will be required for team leaders to ensure real team efforts at the right time and in the right place. Thus, it becomes essential to develop more rigorous methodologies along with new mechanisms and tools for assessing work group behaviors against the specific requirements of their work performance situations. Potential teams and work groups will tend to be able to determine what a particular group task requires in terms of speed and precision versus integration and synergy. They also need to be able to clearly identify and self-correct behaviors that are out of alignment with those requirements. In the past, an experienced facilitator or process observer could provide this perspective. Going forward, there is a need for methodologies and tools that teams can readily apply themselves and thereby self-correct and respond quickly to changing needs. Based on the previous slides, instruction materials, you are to create an HIT team to perform the following. Choose a system that will enable the hospital to track the location of every piece of equipment that is used to transport patients, for example, wheelchairs and stretchers. Answer the following. 1. Is there a situation that could be seen as an opportunity for the hospital to take maximum advantage of this type of project? If so, what? 2. Could shifting leadership roles be detrimental to the success of the project? 3. What kind of self-discipline would be needed to see this project to a successful ending? And 4. Would this project be able to use virtual teaming? If so, in what instances? To summarize this unit, let's review the following. 1. Different types of leaders, traits, styles, and emerging challenges have been discussed in this unit. 2. When being a team leader, you will need to decide what type of leader you want to be and strive for that type of trait. 3. Leadership is learned. Model your performance on a leader you want to be like.